Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 69. Nice. I am Table for Two, and I am joined by Mellified. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. It's, staying hot here in Texas. We had our wonderful 4th of July break, and then I got jury duty for a week, and then I got COVID from jury duty for the last 2 weeks. So I've just been getting my butt kicked.
Around town. Yeah, that's not fun, especially like during the middle of summer. I hadn't mowed my lawn in like a month, and so I finally got that thing taken care of, and so I've got like hay going on. So that's an interesting situation to be in, but
you need a goat.
Yeah, clear. I was gonna say I need a goat. Speaking of goats, did you see that what was it? Goat Simulator 3 is coming out, the pre-udder edition or whatever it was.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of our first stories, in fact. And it's on PC though, it's an Epic Store exclusive. I thought I'm all in on Steam now because of the Steam Deck, and I was very sad to see that. So it is on Xbox though, so I guess I can play it that way.
Nice. Yeah, we'll definitely cover more of that when we do our news segments. But today we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on with us with our gaming things. I know that sometimes we mix our news and our gaming stuff, so not to confuse you guys, we'll definitely do the news on the next episode. So with you being COVID-fied and locked down and stuff like that, what were you planning to pass the time when you weren't, you know?
I was doing like turn-based puzzle stuff a lot because I could kind of, you know, drift in and out while I was playing. If I was taking Dayquil to sort of mitigate the symptoms, which meant that I was, you know, kind of groggy and basically drunk, because that's what NyQuil and Dayquil are, is 40% alcohol. So I was playing some puzzle stuff. Hexseed, I think, is the name of one of them, where it's a Minesweeper style game, but it's on a hex grid, and that really changes the strategy, you know. And they've got some like special tiles that show you how many mines are two spaces away rather than, you know, one space, things like that. So it definitely mixes up the gameplay, but they have a series of achievements for it. And one of the achievements is to do each island, they call it, which is probably 30 levels of this without hitting any mines all in one sitting. And that is just brutal to try to do. I did manage to do it on the first island, but not the second yet. So I've been slowly working my way through that. Gosh, what else? You were playing some GTA 5, right? Or GTA Online, I guess I should say.
Yeah, so Rockstar, and it's nuts, man. Like after 10 years, these guys finally made some quality of life updates for the game. It's just so goofy that it's like we can finally say that they're doing this. Like, no one ever thought that Rockstar was actually going to do what they did. But now you can do most, I think, if not all of the money-making stuff in a private instance or a private group with your friends or solo even. Used to be you had to be in a public lobby in order to do, cargo runs or any of that kind of stuff. And they've now made it so that you can do that in a private instance or with your friends in a, like, invite only lobbies and stuff like that, which is a welcome change, considering that, you know, there's been so many instances over the last many, many, many years of like hacking and botting and all kinds of crazy stuff where people, you know, like you're trying to do your own thing and then someone teleports you to the top of a building or, you know, to some other place on the map while you're in the middle of trying to do stuff. And it can definitely, you know, take away from the fun. But I spent about speaking of, you know, really putting in time, I I'm looking at my hours played. I've got over 441 hours total on this game, and I put in probably like six or so of those hours last night playing with some friends. We were able to do some heists. We were able to do some deliveries and cargo stuff. We griefed each other, but we were having fun doing it because we were friends. You know, it wasn't like a malicious grief, you know, just kind of like, you know, being silly, punching each other in the face kind of things, just like you do.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, it was great because I was like, wow, this is like if I was playing GTA and I wanted to bring a friend along to experience my storyline or whatever it is. You know, it's finally truly a cooperative game that you can play now with your friends. And that was great. You know, and then we ended the night over at the casino doing stupid things, you know, throwing money away. And it was a good time. So, yeah, I applaud Rockstar for finally making those changes. And I hope to see them do the same thing with Red Dead Online, because I think that would drastically improve their player numbers. I think you'd see a lot more people who would want to play the game casually come in and play, because, you know, no one likes to be griefed in games, at least not for long. So,
wow. Well, it's interesting. The news that we will cover in our next show, I guess, but maybe a little preview, is Rockstar announced they're ending support for Red Dead Online, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a shame, really.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like it's to help accelerate GTA 6, where they maybe need some of the team members to work on that. So I mean, there's at least some glimmer of hope there that they could go back to it. But I do agree that giving people the option to play the way that they want is always going to be a positive thing for your player base, it seems to me. You know, letting people play in private lobbies or private servers, you know, that's going to be more fun for a lot of people, so why not allow it? What does it really hurt?
Yeah, and yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up too. It's almost like we're doing some of the news now, because I know, like, with Evolve, Evolve recently did that too, where they turned on 2K turned on the peer-to-peer servers again for the Evolve game. So
well, Evolve was an interesting thing because it came out as a paid multiplayer game,
mm-hmm.
and then went free to play in their stage 2 update. And then it died maybe a year later. I mean, it's been a while. I don't quite remember.
Yeah. The stage two thing was like a remake, or not necessarily like a remake, but it was like
a revamp
maybe. Of it. And they did a free release of that. And so if you got stage two for free, you can download and install and play that now online. But if you never bought the original one, you cannot get. Because there's an option in stage two where they call it like a beta, or whatever, and you can download the legacy version, which is just, you know, the regular Evolve.
Original.
If you got it for free and you never bought that, you still have the option to download that, but it won't let you play it, which I think is kind of goofy. Yeah, we found that out the hard way. Since I never actually bought Evolve, I got the free stage two thing. I can only do stage two. So there's that. But hopefully, though, I mean, hopefully this will put, you know, an interest back for 2K, that maybe they'll make at least stage two freely available again for people to get. I mean, it wouldn't really hurt them, because there's, you know, it would garner more interest, and, you know, who knows. But yeah. So, I mean, it's really cool to see that some of these studios are at least doing right by the player base, because people will still play these games if they're, you know, still so loved. And for what it's worth, with Rockstar, with Red Dead Online, I actually enjoyed that. Before the hackers got their hands on that one too, I really enjoyed that one a lot. But it's pretty obvious, I think, more people are interested in GTA Online than Red Dead. There's, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's had a lot longer to build a player base too.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's what I've been, you know, I started playing that again recently, but I've also been playing, I've got a, you know, small local community of friends have been playing Minecraft, so occasionally I'll play Minecraft with them, but you know, I've been dabbling, continuing more with my Steam Deck, and I've been playing, you know, more Knights of the Old Republic 2 on there. I've been playing Cyberpunk 2077, so I've been making my way through that, and it's kind of making me wonder, like, how long the story is, because I keep playing it, and I'm just like, man, this is a really good long story, so, I've been enjoying that a lot. I just got done with a story point where you go and find, oh, what's his face? The Keanu Reeves character, Johnny.
Oh, Johnny Silverhand.
Yeah, you go and you find his girlfriend, his old former girlfriend, who's like stuck in cyberspace. So I'm kind of in like that part of the game right now.
You're more than halfway, I would guess, probably 2/3.
Interesting.
I think. But it depends, right? Because the main story quest,
side quests.
Yeah, like I probably got to that point and then went off and did 20 hours of side quests before I came back to the story. So, but if you mainline the story, I don't think it's a terribly long, you know, game just for the story. There's just a ton of extra content to explore.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm actually dabbling a little bit in. I've actually been enjoying kind of going around and doing, because I like to do some of the completionist stuff. I don't think there's been many games I've done 100% in, but which reminds me, I need to get back to LEGO Star Wars the Skywalker Saga, because I was working towards 100% completion on that one. That's one I actually do want to try and 100% if I can. Because I've never 100% done a LEGO game before, because, you know, there's all those like little minifigs that you can get and all the, like, the little mini ships that you can unlock, mm-hmm. and all the different things.
Yeah, like the little that. Mini kits, I think they called them in older games, at least. I don't know if it's still...
Yeah, it's still a thing. So, yeah, the mini kits, you know, so I definitely want to get back into that. But back to the Steam Deck a little bit, though, I've been dabbling with the Steam ROM Manager and Steam Grid DB. I've been playing around with those things and customizing my Steam experience a lot more. And so the Steam ROM Manager works both on the Steam Deck and on your PC. And what's cool about it is it doesn't just deal with like emulation stuff. They actually have plugins for GOG and Epic and Uplay. And so I was able to input most of my GOG stuff and my Epic stuff and Uplay into my Steam thing, and they even make categories for it, and it's really nice because then you get the, you know, you can launch everything through your Steam app there, and it pulls down from the Steam Grid, like, you know, icons,
the key artwork.
Yeah. And so that's pretty neat. But then I have a bunch of, like, I have a category called like third party games, which are all my, like, one-off installer games, right? Like, that don't have, like, a home. And I've been going through Steam, and there's a plugin you can get for Steam Grid DB where you can actually go and just, like, click on the plus sign, and it, like, essentially does, like, a mapping to your actual Steam account, and it, like, will download and apply the artwork for you manually. Through manual searching, so without using some other application. So, like, for example, you know, I found stuff, surprisingly, for Star Siege. So, they have artwork on there for Star Siege. So I was able to, you know, click a little button and it applied icons and artwork for Star Siege into my Steam, profile. So that was pretty cool. So I've been doing a lot of that too. So I've been like dabbling with old games again, getting Star Lancer to work and Freelancer Vanilla, stuff like that. Because, you know,
nice,
I'm a sucker for, you know, the retro games.
Yeah, for sure. I went through and I had tried to play Vampire the Masquerade Redemption, which was the older Activision title. And it has a really, really big community patch, and then like sort of just the essential fixes, and I had put the big community patch on and tried to play it, and I was having a weird texture problem with that particular version of the release. So that got updated, and I, you know, re-cleared it out, reinstalled it, but I haven't had a chance to actually go play it. But I remember so vividly with that game, because it's a first-person, you know, shooter-style game, and you play as all the different clans in the Vampire the Masquerade lore, but they actually did, you know, put some effort into differentiating them, even though there's several different clans. And one of them, the Nosferatu are super ugly and creepy, and so you can't go out in normal human society because you're so deformed. Mm. There's another one who's the Malkavan. I'm mispronouncing it horribly, I'm sure, but with them, they're crazy, right? Like they see the world differently than all the other vampire clans, and so your dialogue is completely wackadoo from all the other character clans. And so like some of the quests are radically different because you're not able to like have a normal conversation with people. And so that's why I think that game, you know, has sort of persisted despite all of its flaws, particularly with the released version, is because they did have some, you know, really cool ideas and put some really nice work into it. And I'm guilty of having started it and not finished it like three other times. So I'm sort of determined if I play it again, I'm actually going to, you know, play it through to at least the end of the story. Certainly, you know, not expecting to get every side quest done, but at least in the mainline stuff. So that was one that piqued my interest for sure.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I've been working through God of War, still been enjoying that one. But my goal is trying to, you know, now that I've been dabbling a little bit, I actually playing through games, which has been nice about having the Steam Deck, or even, streaming my PC games up to the living room, is because I can really hunker down and focus on playing the game without like the distractions of my computer or notifications from this or that or whatever it is. And playing through Cyberpunk and God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, up in my living room has been fantastic. I can't recommend that enough, man. Like, I mean, the Steam Link functionality on things, if you have a good home internet setup, or I mean home like Wi-Fi and whatnot, it really does work well. And you know, I've been just continuing to stay impressed with, you know, how the technology works. And
let's see, what other stuff have I been playing lately? It's been between being sick and then, you know, the usual work craziness. It's not always easy to remember, but let me browse back through here. I played a little bit of the Amazing American Circus, which is a essentially like a collectible card game. It's a paid game. There's no like deal or no microtransactions or anything, but you hire circus performers. And those circus performers have different cards that you can play that represent their different, you know, parts of their act. And your enemy, air quotes, is the audience who, you know, has like a certain level of negativity until you sort of win them over, and you have to kind of win all them over. And there's different aspects of how you do that. And they will throw tomatoes at your performers if they don't like what's happening, stuff like that. It was a really interesting way to use like card battle mechanics in a completely different, you know, sort of non-violent setting, which I thought was interesting. I played probably a couple, you know, like 2 hours of it. I did, you know, a few different cities, because you travel around a map and there's, you know, the bigger cities are much more challenging. So you got to kind of build up your performer skills before you tackle that. But, yeah, I mean, that one was really interesting. I went through and was I had pulled out several of the fighting games that I've played. I typically had played them on Xbox, and so I never really set them up on PC. So I was going through and doing that, and I have a nice arcade style fighting stick that I like to play those games on. So I was doing some of that. I played Soul Calibur 6 and a little bit of Tekken 7. So, you know, it's definitely interesting because I am not good at fighting games. I am not going to ever be competitive online or anything, but I enjoy there's a single player element to a lot of these fighting games, and you know, in some cases a pretty decent one. Mortal Kombat 11 is probably one of the better ones in terms of the story, but I really actually liked Soul Calibur 6 as well, because you kind of create your own character with your own fighting style. Like, you use the pre-made character ones, but there's probably 20 or 30 different fighting styles that you can choose from. And then you take your character through the story, which is kind of fun. So I think, you know, there is more to the fighting games than just online competitive play, which I think is relatively unknown for a lot of folks.
Have you been playing, and you said you've been playing those where again on your...
On my PC. I played them previously on Xbox, but I wanted to, you know, get them all going on the PC, because then I can do more with them.
Have you been doing anything with them, like, on your Steam Deck, or just...
I have not gotten to try them on the Steam Deck. I did install them, but that was part of getting them all going, was figuring out, like, okay, well, do I want to play them on the Steam Deck, or do I want to play them on the PC and stream them, you know, over Steam Link? Because the graphics are certainly better, and you get higher frame rates that way.
Yeah,
but you obviously have a little bit of delay, so it's kind of the trade-off.
It's really been interesting. You know, we had this chat in our Discord server a little bit. Is like, my Steam Deck, I feel like, is my next console purchase, right? Like, that's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have my Xbox One X that sits here next to my PC that I can do
the in-home streaming feature.
Well, I can do the in-home streaming feature, but I also have it hooked up to an Elgato HD 60S, and it does a one-to-one pass-through.
Right.
I can do either. But what I find fascinating is, like, you know, with Game Pass and with, you know, with being able to do that, like, I've had, you know, for a while there before the Steam Deck thing, I was really strongly looking at getting an Xbox Series X and putting that down here, and then putting my One X up with my TV so I could have it, you know, have something in both locations. But, you know, since then I've gotten a PS4 and I've gotten a Switch and I've gotten the Steam Deck. And I feel like, even though the PS4, the Xbox, and the Switch are in a sense kind of a generation old, the Switch not so much, because, you know, the Switch is still pretty relevant and probably will be for the next 5+ years.
That's certainly Nintendo's plan.
Right, that's certainly Nintendo's plan, at least. You know, I just, the desire to really do anything on any of the newer consoles is just not there. Like, there's still some Nintendo games that I want to pick up, and there's still some, you know, stuff on the PS4 that I definitely want to pick up, and play, and get my hands on that I can only get there. But, like, so much of the modern stuff from both Microsoft and from Sony is just coming to the PC. And I'm, you know, it still shocks me to think that, you know, they've announced that Last of Us is coming to PC, or that the Spider-Man games are coming to PC, or, you know, any number of those things. I mean, hell, we already got God of War, which was a big surprise. You know, we got the, you know, we got the Horizon games, we got the Death Stranding, you know, and then we got Kingdom Hearts. You can get through the Epic Store, which still blows me away. You can do that. you know, just a bunch of these like Sony games that would have been exclusive, you know, are now available on the PC. And it seems like the PC is just going to continue to grow as like the central hub, right? Like you can get it on this console, or you can get it on the PC. You can get it on that console, or you can get it on the PC. And it's like that growing market of gamers is definitely on the PC. And I think the Steam Deck is just going to help to continue to push that. You know, I think, because the other day, you know, we posted an article in our Discord here about how, you know, how do you get the PS Now working on your Steam Deck or whatever it was, PS Plus, you know?
And, the online portion now that they've merged all of the PlayStation services into one subscription.
Yeah, which is weird because it's still not as comparable or as good, in my opinion, as Game Pass. Like, it shocks me, you know.
Well, and it's more expensive. I think that's the part, you know, that surprised me, at least, was, well, you're making something that's arguably inferior and you're charging more for it. Like, how on earth do you think that that's a good idea?
Right. Yeah, I mean, no doubt. So... it's definitely interesting to see. And speaking of, you know, Microsoft, not necessarily with their Game Pass, but since they've acquired different studios, like who am I thinking of? Bethesda, right?
Yep.
ZeniMax,
Bethesda, Obsidian, In Exile.
Since they've done that, they've been doing a lot of if you go through their insider portal on PC, they've been doing things where you can get like insider builds of Wolfenstein Enemy Territory or Quake 4 or, you know, these kinds of things, which is just telling me that, you know, Microsoft is continuing to, you know, push for, you know, access to these legacy games and older games and stuff like that through their platforms. And, you know, between them and Valve, you know, they've really kind of shifted the market pretty heavily on the PC towards the PC, it feels like. And, you know, I think Sony's logical choice was to follow suit. And which makes me chuckle is I feel like the last great console that's ever going to exist is Nintendo. You know, they've held so true to themselves. And for better or worse, it seems that, you know, they're not budging on anything.
Yeah, they definitely have a strategy, and it is not involve the PC. That's very true.
Although I feel like they would probably make a lot of money if they did do something on the PC, but it seems like, you know, they've definitely felt that they don't need to. They've kept true to their exclusive status on so much of their stuff. It's a shame too, because it's like, you know, people want their stuff so much that it's far often the most pirated, probably, you know, games out there. I mean, how many people do you think have, like, you know, pirated, you know, a ROM of just like, you know, Mario All-Stars or Mario World, or even, you know, just to put it on their phone or to put it wherever. I mean, I would reckon they're probably the most pirated company in gaming out there, in my opinion.
Mm.
That's my argument, at least.
Yeah, well, and I think they like the control over the ecosystem. They like, you know, selling hardware. It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, from a business perspective, Sony and Microsoft have realized that there is very little crossover between PC gamers and console gamers, in that if you put a game on console, the PC players will just never play it. And so bringing those games to PC is just adding more sales, right? They're not losing anything by bringing those games to PC. They're just making more money off of a game they've already made, right? They have to spend, you know, a little bit of money to port it, but they've done the majority of the work. So it's just free money, essentially, for them. And with Nintendo, like, Nintendo's obviously financially successful with the Switch, but the Wii U was a disaster. The GameCube, you know, did okay. The Wii obviously was very successful. So you know, they've had this boom bust cycle for a while now. And if I were a Nintendo shareholder, I would be saying, like, get out of the hardware business, stop, you know, screwing around. And put your games, you know, you have the stable of wonderful IP, get it all onto PC. Like you said, you know, get those pirates who were stealing your stuff and have them buy the super cool Nintendo NES collection off Steam. And you're going to monetize those people and make even more money.
Right.
Well, you know, and I think it's going to be coming whether they want it to or not, because people are going to force them to, is my thought. But
yeah, I think the greatest thing they ever did, aside from the Switch, was the Wii. I think when the Wii launched, that had all of the GameCube support, and it also had its new Wii stuff, which you could do all of the motion control and blah blah blah. And then they launched their online store through there. That was the best thing that they ever did. But then they utterly failed when they didn't do any form of account linking or any form of continuity between that and the Wii U. They sort of did, like, you could sort of transfer, but then it was just like, no, like, you're essentially porting everything over from your Wii to your Wii U to make your Wii pretty much useless at this point.
You were dumping the Wii effectively.
Which was a shame because, again, you know, those earlier to mid models of the Wii, again, had that GameCube support. So it had all of the built-in hardware, you know, to do essentially two consoles in one, which I thought was such a genius move. Like, we're launching a new console and we're going to bake in our own old console into it. And you're just like, huh, kind of genius. You know, I can use last gen's controllers and this gen's controllers if I want to. Like, I could put my old GameCube memory cards into this thing and, you know, keep on, you know, trucking away. You know, genius. Then, you know, the Wii U came around, and the Wii U was interesting because it was like that weird, like, upgrade thing that Nintendo just does, that they went through that. And I feel like they finally have stopped doing it because they've practically killed their mobile market in favor of their mobile console.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like, you know, so in the era of the Wii U, we had all of the variations of, like, 3DSs that came out, you know, and you had the 3DSs and the 3DS XLs and the 2DSs and, you know, all of the variations that they did, I felt like was just from that time period of the Wii U. And then, like, the Switch comes out, and it's like they finally were able to dump both of it, and now you have an actual account and you have the subscription with the online stuff, and the store actually makes sense now, finally, for the first time ever, I feel like. But if they go to a new console after this and none of those, like, online things port over, that's going to blow me away. And it still blows me away that, like what was it, Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD are still, like, nowhere to be found on the Switch. And yet it wouldn't be much of an issue just to port those, right? Because they somehow were able to magically make Skyward Sword work on the Switch. I've played it, and I was really surprised at how well they converted a motion-controlled game over to the Switch. And yet, where is these HD remasters from their last-gen console on this new console? Nowhere. Nowhere to be found. That does that not strike, like, a curiosity with anybody that in this digital world they can't digitally port that over? Am I lost here? Am I
no? I mean, it seems absurd that they aren't. Well, I mean, Metroid Prime Trilogy is another one that people have been, you know, asking for on the Switch since the Switch came out, almost. And, you know, why wouldn't you do that for your customers?
Yeah, Metroid Prime, even if you just put Metroid Prime out, like, people would go batshit. I'd buy it. I loved Metroid Prime. That game was great. It was so good.
Well, and that's where, you know, it'll be really interesting to see sort of what what happens over the next several years that they're saying the Switch is going to stick around, because they have no qualms about running old hardware until it just can't do it anymore, right? The poor 3DS was really aged by the time they finally ended support for it. And the Switch, you know, was 2015 technology that they were selling as new a few years later, and you know, we're still running off of that same very aged NVIDIA chipset.
Right. And, you know, I mean, sure, the OLED Switch is nice and it's very pretty to look at. I'm not going to knock on that. But at the same time,
it's the same internals.
Right. And that's where I'm getting at with the whole PC marketplace. The Valve putting out this Steam Deck and at a comparable price point, like if you were to ask a kid, if you were to put, like, you know, like let them try like a Steam Deck or a Switch OLED side by side, and you know, you loaded up the Steam Deck with like a whole bunch of games, same thing with like the Switch OLED, you know, I don't know, like their entry point is about the same, you know, if you look at their entry level, you know, cost of a Steam Deck versus a Switch. So
yeah,
it's gonna make one wonder, like, hey, you know, where do you wanna be playing your games? Like, where do you want your ecosystem to be? And that, you know, that's why I've definitely myself have been really focusing heavily on moving things back to Steam and, you know, modifying that there. You know?
Well, and I think you touch on something that's really interesting, where the Switch versus the Steam Deck, given that the Steam Deck can run Switch games better than the Switch, right? Like, that just seems so absurd to me on some level. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality, right? Because the Steam Deck is you know, pretty darn cutting edge in terms of its hardware, and you know, the Switch is not. So it's going to be interesting to see what Valve, you know, does. They announced recently that they hit 4,000 games certified. They also announced recently that they are going to have everyone who has a reservation is going to get a Steam Deck this year, which was not the case, you know, sort of previously. They weren't sure how many they were going to be able to ship, and they've been able to work out some of their manufacturing issues. So, you know, Valve is firing on all cylinders, and that's not to say Nintendo isn't as well, but, you know, Valve has a pretty compelling offer. Now, the one big difference, though, is the Steam Deck is competitive price-wise at the bottom end of its offering, right? Because mm-hmm. the cheapest Steam Deck is what, $350, $400? $400, I think. And the Switch OLED's $330. So there is a premium to go to the Steam Deck, but it is a better, you know, objectively a better, you know, machine hardware wise, especially.
Yeah, $400 for a Steam Deck for like the basic version. I mean, that's not bad at all. I mean, like, if you're looking at getting your kid like a gaming laptop or a Steam Deck, I mean, I think the obvious answer is get the Steam Deck. Because, you know, if you get a gaming laptop, then you got to buy the other peripherals that go with it. You know, maybe like another mouse or a controller and all these other things. But, you know, yeah. Steam Deck's got all that stuff kind of like built in. Plus, over time, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting a few different docks for my Steam Deck so I can kind of just like dock it somewhere else and then play it there, you know, downstairs, upstairs, maybe at the office, who knows.
yeah for sure.
Yeah, so,
well, I mean, yeah, hey, you got lunch breaks, you got, you know, downtime. Absolutely. Yeah, well, and this is where I think, Valve, you know, made some really smart moves with the Steam Deck. It'll be interesting to see, though. You know, one of the things you and I have talked a lot about is we have this amazing value in Game Pass, but unless you go to the cloud, you can't access it on the Steam Deck right now. And that would be amazing, is if we could, you know, have the $15 a month Game Pass subscription on the Steam Deck somehow, whether that's, you know, getting Ultimate through Steam directly or what, I don't know, but that sure would be a killer feature for the Steam Deck, I think, for a lot of folks.
So have you been doing any new modding to yours at all?
No, I kind of got it to a point where I've been happy with it. I found a dock that, an external dock that I could put an SSD in, and that's been running really well. My only complaint is it requires that the power be connected through the dock. If you try to run it off the battery, it can't. The Steam Deck doesn't have enough power to run the SSD, so that does limit me a little bit, because I have to shut it down if I want to take it somewhere. But my main use case is to be sitting in the family room playing. So it really hasn't been a big deal for me. I certainly understand for other people that might be a deal breaker though. I've been just kind of dorking around on the Steam Deck. Usually I'm sitting with the wife watching TV, and I'll get on there and, you know, kind of play something that doesn't require a ton of brain power. Because I'm half watching TV, half playing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's been a solid performer for sure.
All right.
And yeah.
Well, I was going to say, here's the question. You know, you're a family of gamers.
Yeah.
Do you have any in the pipeline for the rest of the family?
No, because the kids all have, and my wife all have, gaming laptops. So we've already, you know, made that investment. They've got 2060s and 2080s in their laptops. So they're not, you know, they're not like the absolute latest and greatest, right, bleeding edge, but they're certainly solid, solid systems for gaming. So one of my kids tends to play on the Xbox most of the time anyway. They just kind of prefer that experience. And the other two are, you know, very hardcore, you know, on the handful of games that they play. One of the kids is all about Destiny and, you know, Warframe and shooters like that. Well, Destiny doesn't run on the Steam Deck unless you, you know, go in and put in Windows. And the other kid is kind of more casual, I would say. They play Terraria, they play Minecraft, you know, they play a lot of those kind of things. And, like, you know, yeah, you can mod the Java version of Minecraft on the Steam Deck, but it's a hassle to do it on PC. It's even more of a pain in the butt to do it on the Steam Deck, right?
Sure.
Just because of you know, the having to drop into the OS and everything. So hasn't been a priority there. Now, that said, I have set it up to where my Steam Deck has the family sharing turned on, and they have their profiles configured on the Steam Deck. So if they go and pick up the Steam Deck, they can tap an icon or, you know, navigate through the interface to change the user, the active user, to their account. And it'll even pull in all their saved games from the cloud. So, you know, it is available for them to use. But it's not something I've seen them do a whole lot with it. So I haven't made it a priority. What I am planning to do is whenever we see the Steam Deck 2, which, you know, Valve has already said they're working on, I'll buy that and probably hand down the original Steam Deck to the kids at that point.
Nice. Yep. Well, I mean, it's definitely where I've been putting more of my attention, so I've definitely been enjoying it a lot more.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, you've touched on this, but I guess maybe I want to dive into it a little bit more. You had said that you were doing a lot to get stuff into Steam, to run stuff from Steam. You had mentioned, you know, to me off air that you had even sort of started thinking of Game Pass as demos for games that you might ultimately mm-hmm. buy on Steam. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me because that reflects exactly my experience where I'm much more focused on staying in Valve's ecosystem, staying in Steam, because I know I can take it on the go with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of the decision-making process for sure for me. But the other part of it is that I feel like I continue to run into, and maybe this is where Game Pass's shine is starting to lose a little bit of its luster for me, is that I feel like I run into more issues, if you will, dealing with their platform on my PC. You know, Steam's been around for a lot longer. It's funny. It's like Windows games tend to work better through Steam for me for some reason. I run into more issues with running games through like the Xbox app or like through like the way Windows has installed things. I just like things break more frequently.
Well, Microsoft has made some weird choices early on, right, where they're pushing everything through the Microsoft Store for a while. Then they moved it to the Xbox app, but the Xbox app still installs it through the Microsoft Store, and you've got sort of goofy encryption that was on there for a while, though they've, you know, since dropped that, I guess. But
but not in the best way. You know, like it's still kind of clunky because, like, you know, now I can get to the files, but it's not really a true application. It's still an app. So the way Microsoft treats their games is still in the function of an app. And so the way that it handles that is still a little different. So, like, I can't, you know, like, now that I have access to all the game files, I can't really take that executable, say, and, like, launch it through Steam properly. It gets a little weird. You know, and so it's not like, you know, I installed a game through you know, the Epic Store, and I have an executable here, and I can just add that as a non-Steam game to whatever, and then like launch it, and it launches the game normally, and all those kind of things. It's still a little bass backwards, if you will. And you know, there was a weird thing with like Dead by Daylight, for example. Trying to play it through the Windows version, it would stutter if I tried to use a mouse and keyboard, but it worked flawlessly if I picked up my controller. And then I installed the Epic version and I have no problems. So it's just like weird things like that where, you know, I know that for the longest time, and I still do believe that Game Pass is probably the best thing in gaming out there for your money. If, you know, if you're on a tight budget, but, you know, for me now, it's just a platform that I really feel like, you know, there's nothing. And I hesitate to say this, but like there may even be a chance where I might not even support Game Pass Ultimate in the future. I might just support the PC version because I hardly ever touch my Xbox. And so, like, you know, I've had those thoughts. Because for me, xCloud, you know, is an interesting piece of technology, but like game streaming services as a service. And I don't know if we're going to talk about this in our next, you know, show in the news, but, you know, there's a rumor about Stadia, you know, and, you know, if you have, you know, Game Pass Ultimate or whatever it is, you get the xCloud stuff. And I think, you know, I wonder how much of that is just like a full, like, I'd really like to see the numbers, you know, like, I'd really like to see, you know, what is the adoption rate of cloud gaming, if you will, you know, demographic wise, like, you know, from like the East Coast, West Coast side of things, where you might have bigger, better internet in like the cities, to like the more rural areas of our country, like where does that, you know, where do you see that, you know, being applied? So It's just something curious I've been thinking about, but yeah, I feel that Game Pass for me is I don't touch it nearly as often since I've gotten my Steam Deck. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, and I think that's where Microsoft, you know, it would behoove them, since they're already putting their games on Steam, to work something out with Valve where Game Pass subscribers can get the content through Steam if they choose.
Right. Well, I mean, EA, which is funny because the EA Play or whatever it is a subscription service on Steam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, I also get access to EA Play stuff through the Xbox app. But, you know, and that, I mean, that's a whole other thing. EA's apps are so freaking, like, there's
terrible.
Yeah, it's, oh, God. I could go on and on about that, but I'll save you guys. But but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting experience, and I would love to see some kind of, because I think Valve wouldn't care, because, you know, people were talking about, like, well, what if Valve did a subscription service? I was like, Valve's never going to do a subscription service. It makes no sense for them to do a subscription service. They make so much money as it is. Like, they have, mm-hmm. they have no need to offer a subscription service. Like, it just doesn't, I just don't think that's something that they would do. Like, or something that, I don't know, I could get proven wrong. You know, maybe they do something, but it just doesn't make sense to me. And I feel like the best thing to do is a partnership where Microsoft offers their Game Pass stuff through Steam, and then you can download, you know, all that same stuff through Steam instead. Because, you know, I've got almost over 2,000 games now through Steam alone. I'm sure you do as well. I'm sure you have way more than that. And,
I have several.
Yeah, I have not a few. Yeah. And so, you know, I think people, you know, wanting to kind of play where their friends are, it's kind of like the Xbox thing, right? Like, you know, people like playing on Xbox because that's where their friends are. People like playing on PlayStation for the same reason. That's where their friends are. You know, I like playing on PC because that's where my friends are. But I really like playing through Steam because that's where my games are. And, yeah. You know, or the ease of which I can add non-Steam games to it and still use Steam as my, like, front end, if you
will. Launcher.
Yeah.
I would say one thing, in Valve's favor with Steam is that Steam games are also generally pretty easy to get going for multiplayer. And that is not always the case with Xbox. Like, we've had no end of problems with Xbox voice chat on PC.
Oh yeah.
For example, and on, you know, I guess we're not really using Valve's voice chat, but we're using Discord. And that makes it fairly easy to do voice chat. So that's certainly something I think. But even just like getting into games, launching games for multiplayer, finding other players, for the most part, it just works with Steam. Where you get into some of these other platforms, or, you know, either the developer makes their own thing or whatever, it just isn't quite as reliable, I've found.
Well,
I don't know if you feel the same.
And I do. And for what it's worth, in our next show, we're going to talk about Discord coming to Xbox, probably for that very reason.
Yeah, well, and Microsoft did such a goofy implementation where they're doing like a VPN tunnel to connect to the other players. And that's part of why I think it's so flaky, because they've just like layered a bunch of complexity on it versus just, you know, open right. up a connection and start chatting. But yeah, I mean, Discord just works for the most part. So that makes sense that they would add it.
Yes, indeedy. Because I'm actually surprised, you know, that, you know, Valve's tried very hard with their social stuff, and I think that it's definitely come a long way, but it might be almost a little too late. You know, if they had the kind of features that they do now before Discord came around, I think they would have, you know, stolen the show for sure. Because, you know, they have all the chat room stuff now. They have all of, like, the group and built-in forums and all kinds of things now on their platform. I mean, even OWGG, we have a group there, and there's totally, like, we could add voice channels and chat channels.
Mm-hmm.
And we could essentially build a Discord in Steam if we wanted to, but, you know, Discord's already here, man.
Yeah, well, and Discord has a whole ecosystem around it in terms of bots, in terms of, you know, add-on features and things like that. And Valve just doesn't. That, you know, that it's basically whatever Valve has offered, and that's kind of all you get. And so it's a very different experience kind of overall. I do wonder if Valve, you know, is, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, would Valve just buy Discord and call it a day?
I mean, it, in my opinion, I feel like maybe if Valve did that, that might be an interesting thing, because, like, I'm as we're talking here, I opened up our Otherworlds GG group chat, and I'm looking at the settings for it. And I mean, like, there's permissions and roles and, like, channels and, you know, all that stuff. And you can also stream on Steam, like you can in Discord. Not in, like, the voice channels like you can in Discord, but, like, you know, I can stream my gameplay to Steam. Yeah, and that's why I think the Steam overlay thing is such a huge thing, or being able to add your games to Steam is such a huge thing, because of the way it, you know, it allows you to do that. Of course, Discord lets you do the hook thing, so, like, you know, it knows the application stuff, and so it's a little bit agnostic to where you're playing your games, but I don't know. Like, it was interesting to find out that Guilded got bought by, what was it, Roblox?
Yep. Yeah, Roblox, of all people.
With freaking bonkers.
Yeah.
You know, and so Discord, you know, Discord having a partnership with Sony. And now.
And Microsoft.
And Microsoft. But, like, I don't think you can get Discord on PlayStation, right?
Correct. You can link your Discord profile, your Discord account, to your PlayStation account and get presence, so it'll show what games you're playing.
Well, same with Discord, or same with Microsoft, but yeah, but
right.
But soon
now Microsoft's adding the chat, which is the big difference.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts, dude. I don't know, like, for what it's worth, even though I've been increasing my presence back into Steam again, I feel like it's, you know, 2006 all over again. you know, I still appreciate what Microsoft has done for the PC market, and I love what Valve has done for the PC market, and I think that if we're going to start seeing more integrations with Discord into Xbox, I'd love to see more integrations with Xbox into Steam. Like, let me link my subscription to, like, yep, my Steam account. And I think I would be I would still pay for it at that point. I would gladly pay for the Game Pass Ultimate experience if I could link it to Steam and just, you know, get all my games through Steam via that subscription. 100%. 100%. So, anyway. Well, I think, unless you've got anything else, I think that might wrap it up for us.
No, I think that's been a neat kind of discussion, and we kind of went all over the place, but I think we covered some really cool stuff, so.
Yeah, it was good to get it out of our system, I think. So, with having said all that, if you want to enjoy more of these random ramblings and all of these topics that we've had, come on over to our Discord server at discord.otherworlds.gg, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. This has been episode number 69.
Yeah.
Nice.